Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Stephen Miller. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for letting me be with you. I don't know what it is that you people do at 11 a.m., but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you do that, and that you do it with me. So I'm talking this morning, right? I'll tell you what's going on, because I sometimes think about what it is I want to talk about on the weekends. And so I go through social media, I go through the regular media, I go through the news, I read some international stuff, right? That's kind of how I prep my Monday shows. And every now and again, I find something that makes me laugh until I fall out of my chair. So I see that the Free National Movement says that it will not participate in UB's upcoming debates. It is the most laughable quandary, kerfuffle, conundrum, whatever you want to call it, that I think I've ever heard explained. So the chairman of the Free National Movement has surmised that the reason he can't allow the leader of his party, who wants to be prime minister, and I tell you, the only reason I don't use cuss words when I talk about these things is because Erica doesn't appreciate that kind of language, right? And in the words of Bishop Hall, I would prefer to use standard English when I speak, right? But if you read this stuff, oh my goodness, it is almost impossible not to use curse words. So because there is going to be a single media house that is going to be putting the event on, they think that it's going to be unfair because they have actually benchmarked it against America and Canada, and they don't do it like that there. Well, first of all, we're not America and or Canada, so don't really tell me anything about what the Canadians or the Americans are doing. Plus, there is nothing that would ban, bar, or disjoint any other media house from putting on their own exclusive debate. Plus, the government owns its own TV station, and that TV station has the right to show up anywhere that the prime minister will be. So technically, even if it were a private function, they couldn't tell ZNS that they couldn't be a part of it. And then that way, you could kind of just broadcast it to the entire Bahamas. One. Two, you could simply just invite the other media houses. That would be intelligible as well. Then there was the whole, well, Jamaica's prime minister actually does debates, but I don't even remember the cockeyed reason they said that they didn't want to use that analogy. All I'm saying is, right, all I'm saying is you all have got to stop being a bunch of pussy Latimus men who do nothing more than teeter and pussyfoot around, because you all are yellow-bellied and afraid. That's what it really is. You all are afraid. And you know what is even more daunting? This isn't what my show is about. I just have to let Carl Kullman know how much of a far-fetched, far-flung concept I think this is he's come up with. It is sad that you don't want to debate Philip Davis. Philip Davis could ask me to debate him about oatmeals. Oatmeal, I don't know, in cookies, and I would gladly accept that. Philip Davis could invite me to a debate about the Chick Chani,
I would be present and accounted for in the best blue suit I could find. If Philip Davis invited me to debate him on the amount of grains of sand on Goodman's Bay Beach, I would be present and accounted for, because there is no way under a blue heaven I would ever let the record be reflected that Philip Davis challenged me to a debate and I, for whatever the reason, denied or declined the invitation. It's not a good look, Carl Kalmer. It feeds right into the narrative that we all already know, Carl Kalmer, that the Prime Minister is bumbling. And if we put him on a stage, there's no telling what he's going to say. He may say something silly, like people that are fully vaccinated could go into Junkanoo Shacks, like someone gives a flying frisbee about going into a Junkanoo Shack. And I see now they're saying that people, that's my guess, I see they're now saying that people can also go to weddings if they're fully vaccinated. My question is, who is going to check these things? Meanwhile, right, we have people being admitted into PMH with Kong poisoning over the last 2 weeks. Not a single utterance from the shouting Minister of Health. Not a single discretionary or warning given by the Ministry of Health. Nothing. But here we are talking about the anachronistic institution that is known as civil unions and marriages in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And I don't know who is so excited to go to a wedding that they would go and be vaccinated for it. I'm not saying that people don't want to attend weddings. I'm just saying they don't want to take an emergency vaccine to do that. And I'm talking to you all in my calm voice because I want you all to realize how silly it sounds. So, Carl Kalmer, whatever the reasons are, I want to say that this is embarrassing. And it's actually disgraceful that the leader of an independent country would say that he has no desire, or that he doesn't even answer. Because remember, his answer was, we debate each other all the time. That was Hubert Ingraham's answer 10 years ago, and you can't get away with that now. We live in a new world. But the man doesn't even answer himself. He sends his chairman out with one list of nothingness to talk in the air shot of people with common sense who could easily wipe these things away as nothing more than a bunch of red t-shirt wearing pusillanimous men who like to pussyfoot around the issues. That's all I want to say about that. That's not what I'm talking about today, though. What I am talking about today is the fact that we live in a very passive society, and as a consequence of us living in such a passive society where the citizenry nor the litigants that live among us deem it, see it, feel it necessary to move actions before the court, we as the citizenry are saddled, if you will, with inadequacies on behalf of both our government, the people that run it, the systems that run it, the institutions that have been implemented to protect it. And you may remember or recall that over the last couple of years, there have been any number of people, from children to adults. As recent as about 2 weeks ago, there was a lady struck on the Tawnik William Darlings Highway in the area of the original parties. And I think it was during still daylight hours. But my curiosity got the better of me. And I thought about what exactly would it be like to traverse down the Tawnik William Darlings Highway at nighttime. Well, I'll tell you, my assessment have found that between the Independence or East-West Highway roundabout and the big chicken roundabout, because you know y'all don't give these things names, there are 6 lamps heading west that are out for about 250 feet. For 250 feet, the ability to see while maneuvering a vehicle is almost impossible, even with my own car light. When you get beyond that roundabout, so now we're talking about the leg between the big chicken roundabout and the roundabout that is by the electrical shop that won't take the flag down daytime or nighttime, there are 9 of the lamps heading west that are out. And if you particularly traverse the area where this woman was hit, her name is Chanel Roll, right? Chanel Roll was hit in an area that arguably is the darkest portion of the highway, when you go on along further on this corridor, all right, you find that once you get past the roundabout by the electrical company that won't take the flag down daytime or nighttime, I think there's something like an additional 2 lamps headed west that are out. And then you get on to the Milo Butler Highway. And there is no consistency or systematic lining up of those lights. So there are pockets of that highway, particularly around the areas with curves, where there is complete darkness. And there is no way in a country where people pay taxes, in a country where there is a government with a government ministry and a complete corporation that is responsible for the lighting of the streets, are people expected to simply operate in less than acceptable standards in order to maneuver through our streets? And so I got to thinking, I thought to myself, well, what exactly is the repercussion? What is the consequence? We see it from time to time. The government has implemented an automatic left turn, yet they have put absolutely no signage in. They've put no appendages in. They've put no extra lanes in. The government has technically created a conundrum, if you will. And they ask you every day to go ahead and navigate your way through this conundrum, and they leave the brunt of the liability on you, the citizenry. You see any amount of people hauled before the courts every single day. Charles Villana and his men are out there doing the Queen's work, I must add, with their speed guns in hand, and they are trying to catch people that are speeding and exceeding the speed limit. But arguably, too few of our roads have any mounted, posted, or painted sign that suggests to the driver what the speed limit ought to be. Nor do they put in place boundary lines that lets you know when you are outside of the inner city Nassau area, when you are in the 25-mile-per-hour zone versus the 20-mile-per-hour zone. None of these things exist, yet we expect the citizenry to take the liability. And the question then becomes, how much of that liability should citizens actually in revolt or in protest to sue their government for? Because the government has a fiduciary obligation to its citizens. Yet, on every occasion, it appears that the government very callously executes its legislative authority, and then they do so without considering the liability that they impose on the citizenry. And because I'm not a legal mind, I thought I would get a legal mind and somebody that is very well versed in these issues to help me with this morning. If my line is correct, I should have online with me Mr. Craig Butler, attorney at law. Mr. Butler, are you there?
I am here. I was just listening to your little soliloquy as you was going on about the road problem and you'd switch from your earlier problem. But I'm here to help you discuss this matter this morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Butler. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm alive. So any day we alive, that's a day that means we could do something about the problems that we're facing and we could fix it. And so let's you and I try to discuss this vexing problem with the lack of care by the government and other government agencies when it comes to our road users.
Okay, so Mr. Butler, I'm not a legal mind, but I think I am aware of something in the law that is called a duty of care. Is there such a thing?
Yes, there's a duty of care. Everybody, listen, when you go to the food store, mm-hmm. when you walk inside Super Value, mm-hmm. Super Value got a duty of care to you. Now, you are user of the store. You have been invited into the store, okay? Mm-hmm. So, yes, you've gone in voluntarily. You were invited in to shop and everything. But they must make sure that the there ain't no spillage on the aisles. Mm-hmm. They must make sure that, you know, somebody ain't going down and pull down eggs and cause a hazard to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what could be a hazard to you may not be a hazard to me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So they have a duty to ensure that there ain't too many things in the aisles, that there's no wetness on the floor, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you're talking about here is road users. And so who are we going to look to when we need to look for road users? You mentioned a couple different examples which would seem to to cross a few ministries. It'll seem that we got to cross BEC, because I think it's BEC or BPL, whatever one you want to call it, mm-hmm. that responsible for all the street lighting and everything, right? So you got to cross that. Then you want to talk about the Ministry of Works, because it's the Ministry of Works and everybody who's got to ensure that the road's nice and smooth, that there ain't no potholes, that there's no active dangers on the road. Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about the signage and everything. Doesn't the signage and everything also come out of the Ministry of Work?
Right.
And what are we entitled to? What should we know? Mm-hmm. Okay? These are the things that you have to ask yourself. And the real reason why nothing is being done is you got plenty of lawyers like myself, and we got over 1,500 lawyers at the bar, and many don't see the need or see... No, let me not say need, please. No, sorry, that's the wrong word. Many don't see the time and energy necessary for taking on the government, taking on something like this is something that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people will just let it go by. Now, I talk in a lot, too. Sorry.
I'm with you. Go on.
Great job. If you need to ask, break into me, because when I get rambling, I sometimes don't shut up.
Sure. Okay.
So, in the United Kingdom, they have a compensation fund. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't have a compensation fund over here. They have a general compensation fund for people who ain't got no, who don't have insurances and things like that. We have to turn around and sue the government. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who exactly was at fault, but it does sound as though there is a suit that you could bring there against Bahamas Power and Light for failing to do their job, and against the Ministry of Works for their failure to ensure certain things when it comes to the road and everything like that. So all of these things and all of those people were people that you could possibly bring before the court. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. Okay? It's going to be a long, hard fight. But where you started off, sir, there is a duty of care, mm-hmm. and a duty of care owed to the road users. And we must remember that, we must know that, and we must be cognizant of that.
So what are some of the preliminary actions, Mr. Butler? And I'll tell you why. It's because, again, a lot of people suffer solely because they simply have no knowledge of how to get things done. So people don't know where to start. They don't know where to begin. You know, if you saw the news clip, you would see that basically these people are, from what I have observed, not people of means, right? And so a lot of times, you know, Steve Harvey has a joke. Steve Harvey says Michael Jackson was so rich that Michael Jackson had a giraffe. And the audience laughs. And he says, y'all could laugh at that as much as y'all want. I'm willing to bet no one in here even know who do you call about a giraffe. And it's because people with different means live at different levels. And I looked at the people that were being interviewed in this news clip. And I said to myself, these people obviously do not have money. Or they do not have money that they spend for it to be visible. That then makes me wonder, what is the possibility? What recourse do people without the wherewithal, some without the knowledge, what are some of the preliminary steps that we all, as a citizenry, ought to be taking to ensure that our government is more judicious about their exercising of the duty of care?
Well, you started off great, my friend, when you were talking about all of the problems that we face. We could call them systemic in the country, and mm-hmm. you were talking about the passive nature that we as a people have. Okay, let me swing a little bit. You see, part of that passive nature is our inability or our unwanting to take certain steps. Right, mm-hmm. We're afraid to rock the boat. Many of us happy in our little niche that we got in our little fiefdom, and we don't want to upset the apple cart. Mm-hmm. We got plenty people in the civil service who've been overpromoted just because they've been there for a long time. And please, I ain't hammering on the civil service.
Sure.
But you know, if the civil service got 42,000 people working in it, and IMF and the World Bank and these other people who have done studies show that all we need is 7,500 people to run the civil civil service, mm-hmm. then what you call that? That's an overglut, right?
Right. Yes.
That means there's plenty of people in there who don't need to be in there, right?
Right.
But what do we as governments do? And this both PLP and FNM administration, so don't try to shadow with any color. What they do is they load it up with their people, right? Because they need to keep money and everything flowing. When do we as a people stand up and demand more? When do we as a people stand up and demand better? We don't do that. We happily accept the garbage.
Mm.
Don't you think? You know, you were a former member of the Defense Force and everything. You had a hierarchical system mm-hmm. that, you know, it was a military. You can't question orders from up of above, mm-hmm. okay? But there's an even more basic rule. When an order is an illegal order given to you, you're not supposed to follow it.
Correct.
But then if you determine what's legal or illegal, right,
mm-hmm.
you could get in trouble.
Right.
You could get in trouble.
In the instance,
because,
yes.
Because they don't say that you know, oh, boy, you're not reading the Bahamas. Oh, you're getting too big for your britches. You're yeah. getting too big for your... You hear calling people order illegal, and many of them could be. Mm-hmm. We heard and know of many instances in this country involving law enforcement. When you and I were speaking before the show, I had mentioned one very briefly, the Larquin incident.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody know on that Larquin incident, money and drugs gone missing.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and we can't, and no matter how we slice it, money and drugs went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and somebody had to be at fault, but we never got any further clarification other than the bit of inquiry that we had going into it. And these are things that we need to question. And you know why we need to question it? I can tell you why. And please, I'm not making any defamatory statements on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we had the question about the Larquin, one of the names that was called in that was the present Minister of National Security.
Mm.
That was called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was called. But yet now this man is being elevated to the role of Minister of National Security, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not saying that he did anything wrong. I'm saying that nobody ever properly went in and looked at that. When we have things
like that going on, right? Uh-huh.
Why you think anybody going to look after Joe Poor, Maria Poor, Ali Poor? Okay, what you think about in them people who have to go to PMH and can't get medicine and can't get seen properly? Isn't it the same thing there?
And this is what I
aren't we
from you.
Failing our people? Aren't we looking down on people because they poor and they ain't got no say? And that's how we treating them.
But
right?
The law
we treat
is
them
blind.
Like second and third class citizens.
But the law is blind, Mr. Butler. Therefore, it doesn't measure wealth. It doesn't measure status. It ought not measure class. Right? The law ought not see any of those things. The only thing the law has is the law and the interpretation of that law, right? That is what I understand the law and the legal field to be, right? Everything that you said to me is all subjective or tied to the emotions of people. And that's not the way the law ought to work. So whether they are Joe Poor or Jenny Poor, right, the law ought to still protect them. And the question becomes, what exactly is the recourse for people for them to be able to access their protection in the law? And if our laws do not protect people from the liabilities created for them by their own government, right? One of the other cases that you will find, one of the other things that you will see is along the Charles W. Sanders Highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are any number of people that have completely total vehicles on that highway. I know of people that have died on that highway. Do you know why? They hit the median. And if you know that
and that median has come up on you so fast in
because
the night if you traveling, because there ain't no reflectors or anything on it, and there's
precisely.
More than one.
There's several of them, right?
There's several. I mean, like, even when you're leaving Pinewood and you're coming right round the roundabout, as you get round, right round the roundabout before you even hit the primary school.
Yes.
Okay?
But if you mash up your car, The onlookers are going to say, that's what you get for speeding, right? So the entire liability becomes yours as a citizen. No one ever considers the fact that it was unlit. No one ever considers the fact that in many instances, because I think they've recently put up some markers, but in many instances, there are no erected markers. In never have I ever seen any forewarning markers, right? Because I believe before you get onto this highway, there should be a sign that says caution, medians, or something, some language that suggests to you that there are unlit medians on this highway, or there are medians on this highway that may from time to time be unlit due to accidents, but some signage. That doesn't exist, nor has it ever existed. The government of the Bahamas decided that it would build I want to call it a highway, right? I don't know if there's a international definition for highway, so I don't want to use the term slackly. But Prince Charles Drive, by all estimations, in my mind, is a highway. Yet the government has not seen any necessity in inserting a center median. So the point I make is there are cars traveling at a rate of speed of about 40 miles an hour on any given day, moving in opposite directions with no median separating those cars, right? And sometimes the light on that road is either poorly lit or not lit at all. And I often wonder, right? Like every time I drive down Prince Charles, I get a Final Destination moment in my subconscious. Like, what happens if someone?
No, man, rebuke that.
But what if someone misjudges the line in the road, or what if my oncoming light triggers some sort of migraine in someone, or something to that effect? What stops that person that is doing 40 miles an hour from coming onto my side of the road in a head-on collision? Absolutely nothing. And the government accepts no liability for this in all of the accidents that have been on Prince Charles.
Well, okay. Now, let me put on my pure lawyer hat now, too. Mm-hmm. Okay? But we're talking about things where we have opportunities to proceed against somebody who's insured. In order to have a car on the road, you are supposed to be licensed and insured, supposed to be a licensed driver, mm-hmm. and so there's supposed to be insurance to cover any unfortunate outcome or unfortunate eventuality.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first thing that needs to be looked at, that we need to ensure that that happens. Number two, you're supposed to have a car that's roadworthy. We got plenty of these cars on the road that ain't roadworthy, mm-hmm. okay? Number three, you need to have a core of lawyers who have no problem taking on the insurance companies, who have no problems taking on the government and everything like that. But it's very hard to do that when you're first starting out and you're trying to make money, because on those instances, a lot of times you're acting for the plaintiff. Mm-hmm. And when you're acting for the plaintiff, even though they tell us we're not supposed to do contingency fees over here, a lot of the people do not have the money to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a lawyer end up carrying the case. Now, the Bar Association could talk whatever garbage they want to talk about advertising and all of these other things. But all us lawyers is breach all those damn rules. All us breach those rules. My deepest apologies is mm-hmm. breach those rules. As we see fit, we advertise overseas, we advertise in magazines, we do all of these things. We have a society that allows us to break the law. There's a seatbelt law in effect. Not many of us is buckle up, but when we in Miami, we ain't think twice about buckling up because we know those people and give us a ticket, but mm-hmm. this is the Bahamas, so we ain't buckle up, right? We have a lot of laws in the Bahamas. How many of us is go to Miami and come back and you got a $500 exemption and you're trying to stick everything under the $500 exemption?
Mm-hmm.
You go on to the flea market to make sure you got some stuff so you could say you ain't got no receipt. You pull all the things off and you tell the people they come from the flea market. We always looking for ingenious ways and everything to try to circumvent the law. Aren't we? Isn't that the type of people we are? Remember, our motto is now forward, upward, onward, together as our Bahamian motto. But what was our motto prior to that? Okay, piracy expelled, commerce restored. All right? So when you start looking at it, where have we as a people made our money? We made our money in bootlegging. We made our money in piracy. We made our money in drugs. We made our money running illegal people. Okay? So what? Are we a bastion in a den of illegality? Well, it would seem that way.
Mm.
And then when we get people in who seek to exploit that even more for their own benefits, then we continue down that line. But we got to keep on going back to, we are not educating our people. We want to keep them dumb and stupid and in the corner so we can continue to take advantage of them, right? That's why we got the D-minus average or whatever it is. We do not want to educate our people, sir. We like subservience. We like stupidity. We like the way the system is because we could continue to rape and rob it and do as we see fit and benefit our friends. But until we get a strong core of people, and this is my opinion, you could take it, leave it, throw it away, whatever. But until we get a core of people who are willing to put their own things on the line, who are willing to fight, who are willing to move ahead, we're not going to improve our lot, sir. We're not going to improve our lot because, you know, I hear you talking about the politicians and everything. You could continue to talk about the politicians all you want. But please tell me, do you have any confidence that Prime Minister, Minister, and or anybody in his cabinet is going to do anything to rectify the situation?
But do they not have an obligation, though?
If Brave were to become Prime Minister or any of them and do anything?
But what about the obligation? See, and this is the... It shouldn't... The way systems... If you know anything about me, you will know that I am enamored by the British monarch. Why? Because I've never met a bunch of people that have created systems that have held the time and lasted as long as those people. Like, once they implement it, it never dies, right? And it is because they build systems that are unaffected by people. So it doesn't matter who sits in the chair. The only thing that matters is that someone sits in the chair. And the minute that person sits in the chair, the system does what the system does around that person, right? And I think we continue to personalize this conversation when we say, oh, do you think this administration has the wherewithal or that administration has the wherewithal? I don't think it ought to come down to the wherewithal. I think there ought to be standard procedures that are implemented and that do not go away. Why was there a highway built? Why was a four-lane highway built on a flat piece of surface, on a flat road, sorry, and no overpasses considered? Why are we asking the citizenry to take on the liability? Why is the same to be said for the Tony William Darling Highway? Why on a highway where there is a junior high school and a primary school? Are you aware of that?
Yep.
We have not mitigated any circumstance that could prevent the loss of life, the loss of property, the damage to life, to limb, none of that stuff. The government has basically, and I say government as an umbrella statement, but the government has basically left the citizenry to fend for themselves. And the question I have is, then who does the burden of responsibility rest on? Because we can't imagine that everybody understands at the same level. We can't imagine that everybody is sensible. We can't even imagine that everybody's in their right mind. I drive around this place all the time, and there are people that are obviously on the road with me that have the little green man talking to them. So then there must be a system, right, that ensures that as many people as possible are protected either from those that are on the road with them and in some instances from themselves.
Let me ask you, when you say the little green man, what, you mean they're driving under the influence because they've been smoking weed?
No, like there are just people that are under some, like you could look at some people and see that everything isn't going on right there. Something's happening in their head. Like there was a guy riding up the middle of Market Street on Saturday on his bicycle talking to a person that I couldn't see. Now, I'm not going to say that the person was in there. I'm going to say that I didn't see the man that he was talking to. But there are people like that are out there, right? And so the institutions must protect that.
That is part of life, right? These part of the inequities and everything in life that and the vicissitudes of life that we all go through, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to come up against some people who got mental challenges. We're going to come up against people with physical challenges and all those other challenges. But you're absolutely right. The law of the land is supposed to be sacrosanct. The law is supposed to be blind. And the law is supposed to take care of everybody. Everybody's supposed to have equal access to the law.
Right.
But you know, in your show, you're talking about people. And I started with the Laura Quinn incident. Let's look at the Shane Gibson incident where you had a senior police officer saying that they changed a statement. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that goes on a lot more than you would like to think. So look, man, let's keep on looking down. I represent my nephew, Charles Butler, who was the young man mm-hmm. who had his head put in the wall at the Ahwaki Police Station by ASP Derek Ferguson.
Right.
But we know that ASP Derek Ferguson has already retired from the force with all his benefits and honors, mm-hmm. and I have yet to receive, to have the charges dropped against the three young men and or receive my compensation for them. But I'm not going to give up, okay, because I am a prolific writer of emails and I'm a prolific writer, and I got a big mouth. So I will keep on screaming from the mountaintop, and I don't care if Paul Rowe like me, don't like me. I don't care if the Prime Minister like me, don't like me. I tell them all, okay, you're all doing a bunch of you-know-what.
Mm. But what is okay? the role
and
what
until,
is the role that litigants
until
have?
People willing to stand up, look in the Prime Minister's face and tell him he don't know what he's talking and tell Brave he don't know what he's talking, okay, and challenge them, just like how Brave and Wongo challenge Minister debate. I've been challenging him and Minnis from before this pandemic, and I told them that they both don't understand world geopolitical game. They don't understand the economy, and they certainly don't understand our country.
What then, Mr. Butler, is the role of litigants? Because I don't expect the common man to know. I don't expect Joe Public to be aware of what protections there are to be in the law for him. I anticipate that he needs the guidance of a lawyer. But with like you said in the opening statement, with 1,500 lawyers around here, how do we still live in such a disordered society?
Because when we get lawyers who do get some money, we go and start living the good life and everything, and we forget about the other
but
things.
Are you?
You see, you tend to go and do that type of work when you start to know you're trying to make a name, you're trying to make some money, you're doing these type of things. And so you need to have the cojones when you start to know.
But are you living the good life, though? Because if you make the money, right, you move behind the gate. Your mommy still live on Prince Charles. You still have to go Prince Charles. So which means you are still caught up in the quagmire of poor infrastructure and low liability
yeah,
by the government.
That's the colonialization attitude that's coming back to bite us in the rear. You understand? We ain't get over that yet. We still haven't gotten over the fact that we run in our country. When we have these people, and I'm sorry, man, from the UBP time, from we became self-governing back in 1962, we have put people in positions of power, okay, especially from the PLP on, where we were happy to give all the black people all the pomp and pageantry mm-hmm. and the positions. And at the end of the day, the economic wealth still lied with the white people, okay? And I'm not making this a black or white issue. I speak about it all the time. And I tell people I lived an extremely privileged life. Mm-hmm. I grew up as an affluent black person and able to go to school with all of these people. And I could see the different lifestyles. I could see the different sets, okay? So, yeah, we got accepted into that. But the average person doesn't. And so when they get up there, they forget about the altruistic reasons or the country-building reasons. We forget that, and we then become materialistic individuals who are susceptible and easy to be bought off by those who rich and by those who want their special interests to continue, and so they buy it off, and it's like these are my opinions. Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to have them. Go on.
You know, I do a podcast called Take Sense from Nonsense, and I say the reason I call it Sense from Nonsense because sense.
You still up? Did we lose him? I think we may have lost him. Okay, let's see if I can get Mr. Butler back on the phone. In the meantime, Kermit, let me take a couple of these phone calls. Come on and call, you're on. Call either. Negative. 323-622-3235-4316. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there? I don't know what's happening. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, good. Good day, sir.
How are you?
I want to respond to the first statement you made in your show concerning this. You see, this group came together because the PLP was doing so poorly, and it's equivalent to a scrap gang.
Mm-hmm.
And we vote them in. They mm-hmm. had no plan.
Mm-hmm.
They was even surprised that they won, I suppose, because you can clearly see they had no plan,
mm-hmm.
and they're just riding the wave. They're just riding the wave. But in true fact, they're all cowards because they cannot face the reality of what Bahamians are going through because they have one hand in another set of people's pocket, and they're trying to satisfy the other set of people who they come in too soon to vote for them.
Mm.
But I tell you something about these lawyers. They are mostly in parliament as lawyers, and guess what? They pass laws. And then when they come out of parliament, they actually go and defend and fight that law.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But look what really bugs me. Imagine you're a criminal attorney. You have this high-ranking drug dealer, and he's paying you the drug money, and it's legal for you to receive that drug money from him as payment to represent him in court. Something is really wrong with that.
Mm.
How can, and then he could then become prime minister with all that drug money that the dealer paid him to represent him, even though he still went to jail. It's all screwed up. All screwed up.
All right, thank you. Let's take another call. Good morning, Callie Ron. Callie there? Mr. Butler, I'm actually trying to see if we can get Craig Butler back on the phone. I don't know what happened, but we are talking about the society that we live in. And how is it that all of the liability of the misfunctions in our society rest on the people that have to live among them, right? My heart goes out to Chanel Roll. I think she may actually still be in the intensive care unit. Gina Knowles is a mother. And she has two children, an 8-year-old and I think a 2-year-old. And her mother alleges that she also happens to be bipolar, which again is another symptom of a dysfunctional society. And I don't know how much of that liability, how much of the liability of a dysfunctional society should the citizenry take on. Let's take another phone call. Come on, Nicole, you're on.
Morning, LeVon. How you doing?
Hey.
It's actually grossly unfair and irresponsible for persons to call in and make accusations about...
Antoine, I don't want to go in that direction this morning. I have a very planned show. Are you calling me?
I'm thinking about the points that you're discussing, Devon.
Yeah, no. I opened up and I talked about the fact that I thought that it was cowardice for them to not accept the debate from Hubert, from Mr. Davis, right? Which was the only thing that I said about Mr. Davis. And I heard the caller said that Mr. Davis made money as a lawyer who represented drug dealers. Well, that was his job. I don't hold any weight about that. I do not want to go in that direction. I've ended that call. The question is, would you like to talk to me about the liabilities of our society?
Let me move to the next point regarding some of the points Mr. Butler was making.
Sure.
Mr. Butler is conflating a lot of issues in his points, and he's taking away the responsibility. Of course, there is a personal responsibility that individuals have in the society, right? But the ultimate authority in the society is the government of the Bahamas, who is the only entity in this country that has the legal obligation to defend against persons breaking laws in the country. And so the government has its fair share of responsibility to protect and to ensure it's carried out as it relates to the laws that is set in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so if an individual seeks to break the law, that is one consideration. But that does not renege the government of its direct responsibility to ensure that it has in place the necessary provisions to monitor, to enforce, and to carry out and execute the laws in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we are falling now. We are seeking to point all of the flags in the direction of individuals and allow for government to get away and to renege on its responsibility, which is why the cycle continues over and repeatedly and over and repeatedly. The minute we start to hold persons who sign on and take on the job of governance in our country, the minute we begin to hold them fully accountable, then we'll begin to see the change that we desire in our country. Because if they are failing in their responsibility, we as the Bahamian people, we owe it to ourselves and to our future generations to put the mechanisms in place, even if we do it from a private perspective, to take the stance that are necessary, even if we take them from a private perspective, to hold the legislators accountable and to ensure that if they're not performing, they are removed, not in a 5-year cycle, but as soon as possible. Or we force them by way of action to take the necessary stance in order to bring about the change that we hired them to bring about, rather than to let them skate about the place for an entire 5 years and take us for fools by coming to our house again after not fulfilling their responsibilities and their promises.
Okay. So the problem I have with that argument is that sounds like a partisan argument, right? It sounds as though it's an F&M thing that people are being knocked down on the road. No, first of all, the Tony William Darling Highway was built by Bradley Roberts. I remember because I found no greater joy during the time of Bradley Roberts being the Minister of Works than when I listened to him report on the Tony William Darling Highway. And the one thing I would remember is that Bradley Roberts would report the spending on the Tony William Darling Highway, and he would report it until he ran out of breath. So he would get up and he would say, Mr. Speaker, to date, we have spent $6,285,376.38. And he would say it until he ran out of breath, right? And I always say, well, Bradley, don't tell me what you spend the $6.2 million on. Could you please take me to the part of the highway where you spend 88 cents? So I know that it was a PLB project. The second thing is, it was the PLB that built that road and decided not to put an overpass on it for whatever it was worth. This isn't a partisan issue. The issue I have is that I think litigants in our society are not living up to their salt. They are not defending the rights of the poor. And I think it is, as Mr. Butler said, because they are the poor. And so they don't have the wherewithal to be able to actually stand up and push back. And I'm telling you, this is a problem for poor people today. But rich people have to leave gated communities. So no matter how rich you are, there will come a point in your life where you will be faced with some of these things. You are faced with them when you drive down the road and the police gives you a ticket for speeding on a road that didn't have a clearly marked sign as to how fast you ought to be going. They are then now saying that you ought to have common knowledge of how fast you ought to be going. And I'm not really sure if you as the person ought to have that responsibility rest on top of you. Let's take another phone call. Did that? Nope, they left. Let me read a text message so I can get a couple of these in. This one says, wow, I would like this lawyer to be in my corner. Great reporting on the cause and effects of the accident. This one says, more drivers need to put on their headlights in the dark. Again, text writer, you're asking the person, the citizen, the individual to take responsibility for lack or low or no functioning government infrastructure. Why in a country where you pay your taxes are the lights on Milo Butler Highway off? Why are the lights on the East-West Highway off? Why? Why did that happen? And if they were knocked down, because I know they're going to say, oh, some of them were knocked down due to accidents, then why does the government not have an insurance in place that puts those things back as quickly as possible? Because if they built the road, right, with that amount of lights, then that means the architect knew or realized that that's the amount of lights that the road needed in order to be completely lit. Failing that, that means that that road is not functioning properly. And if the road isn't functioning properly, then that means that all of the accidents that happen in and around that dysfunction in the road ought to be considered some liability of the state, in my estimation. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, how you doing, 52?
Yeah, I'd like to say enough respect to the gentleman in there. I don't know if he's a lawyer or what, but enough respect, brother.
This is Mr. Butler. He was online. I don't know what happened, but we lost him.
But I just wanted to highlight something with the truck. I noticed that, you notice whenever they knock down a lamppost, sometimes, and you see somebody at the sports center in different places. I was walking my dog, but they have like loose wires, and so you as an electrician, you don't know if they're hot or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just let the wire sit there, and you don't know if they're disconnected or not. Some have the wire caps or whatever. That doesn't even matter if water catches it at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But some are basically on the ground, right? And but you know, I noticed the gentleman was talking about corruption, right? There is a complacency with corruption. You know, one could just go back into the commission of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a great show. I wanted to make a correction. I think I called you last week, and I said that the influenza virus is the only virus that goes through reassortment. But no, they're the only virus that goes through antigenic shift.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what the correction I wanted.
52. Someone asked me what is your real name, and I couldn't answer it. I only know your name to be 52.
Yeah, well, I know you mean you from the same area.
I know you from Angleston, but that's what I told them. If you, I told them if you're from the inner city, you don't waste time learning people's real name. You just
well,
learn.
I go in the public and private school, you know, Levan, so you know what that means. So have a good day.
Appreciate you, 52. Yeah. 323-623-323-2543-16-325-4259. Yeah, someone asked me what 52 real name was, right? And I tell them, I know you from Angleston, but if you grow up in the hood, you don't ever learn people's real name. Like, I know Black's name Blacks. I don't know what Black's name is. He named Blacks. Don't ask me what Black's name. Yellow name, Yellow. That's his name, Yellow. Call him Yellow because that's what he answers to. And if you call him by his name, Theo, he won't answer you because his name is Yellow, all right? So 52's name is 52. Let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on. How are you?
Great. I'd like to make a contribution to your discussion today. And what I see is just basically I'm negligent behavior toward the poor, you know, in fact, even dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like to say is that I lived upstate New Jersey for several years, and they had a system called the ombudsman system. So anytime you had a problem that was a legal issue, or contention against the government, whether it's state, usually within the state, that's their territory, their judicial territory, you could go in there, set your case, it costs you $5 to post it, and you basically present your case.
Mm-hmm.
And a panel of three, basically like a tribunal, they will sit there, they will hear it, and they will decide on it. And that's kind of system we need, I think, to hold this government accountable. But the FNM government, they did campaign on the ombudsman system.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, as in all, just about every campaign promise they made, they did not accomplish. So, or they didn't even attempt. So I think the ombudsman system would be a good thing, because in these road situations, even traffic on traffic situation or car on car situation in the flow of traffic, we can actually use that system to go away from the court, you know, and just use that system to clear up disputes. But it seems like in this country we're not willing or incapable of doing anything to help the less privileged among us. We have a very caste, C-A-S-T-E, system in this country that favors the wealthy over everybody else. So that's where we are right now.
But the question again, Carl, and I want to engage you for a second. My question is, what does the poor do? We both agree that this is an affront to the poor. All right. Yes. We agree that Ms. Chanel Roll probably doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to afford private counsel. But there will be more Chanel Rolls. She isn't the first. She's not going to be the last. I think before her, there was the Haitian lady and I think a brother that were both knocked in the area of Charles W. Saunders. Sawyer. And if you get into that area, you realize that area is also poorly lit. Right. And how long will we allow this to be visited upon the poor before the 1,500, 1,600, 1,800 litigants that walk around this place with their wigs and their gab on say to themselves that in order for us to live in a society that is better ordered, we need to ensure that the person responsible for legislation does so in a way that it doesn't leave as much liability. The government ought not put in place an automatic left turn and not put in the appendages. The government ought not put in an automatic left turn and not put the signage. They ought not put medians in the middle of the road and then allow them to not be lit, or to not put up signage that suggests that there may be unlit medians. And the government takes none of the liability, ever. How long will we live like that?
I am in total agreement with you, but I would like to add to that that there's a of resentment toward the poor in this country, a type of condescension from the, I don't want to call them, let me call them the oligarchs. I don't want to call them the intelligentsia, because that would be
an insult to intelligence.
Characterization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the oligarchs, because you have some oligarchs that are in entrepreneurial, that are smart.
You could be rich and stupid. You know, I get it.
But once they get in office, Jack, they forget all of that.
Mm.
Even with the pedestrian crossings, mm-hmm. you know, the government is liable for that. Mm. You don't expect it. You know, that's why we have people that just walk across the street with careless disregard for traffic. They just walk across the street and they expect you to stop.
Yeah.
But when I went to A.F. Adderley High School. I graduated in 1975. And let me tell you, there was an exhaustive public education, at least in the school.
Yes, on road safety. Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Use the zebra crossing.
Yes.
Because the traffic has to acknowledge you if you are on that crossing.
Yes. I appreciate your call, caller. I'm flat out of time. I didn't check the time. Thank you so much for giving me a call. Listen, we got to talk about these kinds of things, because in order for us to live in an ordered society, people that are responsible for ensuring that organizations and institutions work must do the work that ensures that those institutions and organizations work. That is where I sit on it. I don't know what happened to Craig Butler, but I want to thank him so much for joining me this morning. As I leave, Hubert Alexander Minnis, I wouldn't let Philip Davis challenge me to a debate on who have the best rolls, dinner rolls in New Providence, and I not accept it. If Philip Davis told me that he wanted to debate whether or not I should come before E except after C, I would take that challenge. This bunch of pussy footing around don't look good on you. That's all I want to say. That's my time. I'm out of here. I'm Laban Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They've got the news and it's next.
Become legends, sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Free-